This Lent, we talked and planned that we were going to go through the book of Galatians, specifically chapter 5, looking at the idea that God tells us that it is for freedom that he has set us free, but that freedom is not just to do whatever it is we want, but it's free from the pull of sin, it's free from the draw, the gravity, the drag that sin puts on us, so that we can align ourselves with God, free to be the people he always dreamed and planned and had his son come and die that we might be. And so we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit and how we accomplish that. And today in particular, we're looking at the peace fruit and the patience fruit. Just a reminder in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. We've already looked at those together. Now we're going to do peace and patience. And in the weeks to come, with God's help, we'll explore kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And God will help us do that. The reminder is that when we have the fruit of the Spirit, when we have the Spirit leading us, there really doesn't need to be thou shalt and thou shalt nots anymore. There is no law that we have to worry about when those are the things flowing out of our lives, out of our thinking, out of our speaking, out of our acting. And this is such an invite. It's that goal to strive for. I don't know about any of you, but there was a point in my life when I was trying to lose weight, and I told my story Wednesday about running the marathon. And what was my goal, my picture of that, was the picture of me on our honeymoon in my swimsuit when I was thin, right? So I had that picture taped up on my mirror, this is what I could be again. And this idea that this scripture is like that picture, this is what God wants for us again, that the natural flow out of our life is love and joy, peace and patience, so that people are just touched and changed and they just can't wait to be around us because of that. And we remember, as I've said for you in the weeks past, it's not fruits of the Spirit. It isn't, the apple of love and the orange of joy and then the pears of peace and patience. It's one fruit because it's flowing from one Holy Spirit. It's his one work in us, but it manifests in these different ways. They're all real, really just slightly different expressions of love lived out in our lives and of the Spirit lived out there. So that's where we're going. And today, again, peace and patience. This is maybe a time when we really could use some peace, right? Everything you hear on the news. This past week, I don't know that I'd ever heard news change so fast, right? The NBA finds out they have a player with the COVID-19 virus, and they shut everything down. Every sports team, every league, every tournament gets shut down. Disneyland is shut down. Apple stores are shut down. And our government leaders, and this is partly why we're making our decision, our local government leaders got the CEOs of all the hospitals in Houston together, got faith leaders together, and said, here's what's going to happen to us. Here's what happened in China. Here's what happened in Italy. Here's what's going to happen here unless we can all encourage people to trust in God, have peace, and separate for a time. So that's really what triggered all that, but not an easy decision, right? Peace, how are we going to do this? How do I find toilet paper, right? There's all kinds of things going on in the world that we worry about right now. And yet, we so much need that peace from God. Here's the promise that we heard in Romans 5 that Milton read for us. We have peace with God through Jesus. It starts with that. That peace with God is so necessary because our natural, your natural and my natural bend is away from God. Ever since Adam and Eve did their thing and went for the forbidden fruit, and we see the consequence of that, they hide from God. They blame each other. They blame the devil instead of taking responsibility. There's been this hiding and distancing, and really at the root of it, if you think of Adam and Eve's sin and at the root of our sin, it's a lack of trust. I don't trust God. I trust myself. So I'll decide what's good and what's bad. I'll decide if I'm going to go out to a restaurant or not. I'll decide if I'll buy this or that. It's this self-centered orientation that gets us distant from God, distrusting from God, and the scriptures even say hostile to God. Now, we've been soaked in this peace and grace for a long time, so we might not say that that's our regular, everyday walking around orientation. But you and I know that there's still that little sinful self inside there, right? How easily and quickly we can switch back to fear or to blaming or to gossiping or to judging and all those things. Why? This is why this gift is so important. We have peace with God. God is not pointing a finger of judgment at us anymore. Instead, like we heard in the Old Testament reading, he says so beautifully, as a mother comforts her child, so I comfort you. What a beautiful, you know, holding a baby on their knee, holding and soothing, shh, 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 it's going to be okay. That's how he treats us. The path to get to that peace with God was through pain, wasn't it? It was through Jesus' suffering. It was through the willingness he went through to be our substitute and to take on himself all that hostility, all that judgment, all of that sin and separation so that we could have that peace again with God. That we wouldn't have to put our heads down or hide or say, well, at least I'm not as bad as Hitler and try to play the comparison game. Instead, we would just have peace and say, oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you that I have your comfort. Thank you that I have your grace. Thank you that when I have trouble, I can come to you instead of running from you or trying, heaven's sake, to solve it on our own. He broke down that hostility and that distrust of Adam that comes to us from sin, and we have that peace with him. And because we have that peace with him, now we also have the next gift that he offers to us, a peace that comes from him. The peace with him comes from Jesus, but here Jesus even goes further and makes this beautiful promise in the gospel reading, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Now think for a moment about what the world can give us in terms of peace. Take two aspirin, right? What do you get, 4-6 hours of a break from fever or from the aches? Take a politician's word? I don't know, 4 or 6 minutes? I'm not really sure, right? What is it the world can really offer us that is of lasting peace? You think it's, you know, we're going to buy our 2 weeks of groceries, but 2 weeks of groceries go away after a while, and then we need more. We think it's, you know, whatever, something we can buy or wear or watch or whatever, and the world cannot give us peace. Peace I give to you, my peace I give to you, Jesus says, not as the world gives. The world brings fear, the world brings hostility, the world brings comparisons, the world brings all kinds of things, but we get this peace that's more powerful than anything in the world. It's a peace from God to you, the ones he loves. It's a peace from God to you to offer you care and stillness and something this world cannot give. And it's something that I think then even we can give away to others. And we'll say a little bit more about that here again. But won't you say these words of Jesus with me? This is Jesus speaking to all of us, but together, let's say it. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. And Jesus followed that up with this beautiful phrase. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Is there trouble out there? Yes. Is there uncertainty, things to be concerned about? Yes. But don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. We're going to be wise, and we're going to then do what Jesus also said, and that's right above the scripture you and I just read. We're going to let the Holy Spirit be the one that teaches us and reminds us and refreshes us. I love how Jesus put this, how he described it there in John 14, verse 25 and 26. Right before the verse that we read, right? These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Now, I have to say that when I was in seminary, and I may have told you all this, the first class I ever failed in my life, I failed in seminary. Oh, man. I thought they were going to kick me out, and I wasn't going to get to be a pastor. And I know there are several people who probably wish that would have happened. But be that as it may, the first class I ever failed was because I had taken Hebrew, but the way they sequence classes, you can't use the Hebrew for 2 years. It didn't stay in this head that long. Not at all. You know, and sometimes when I read this, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send, he will teach you all things. Oh, God, why couldn't you have taught me Hebrew better so I didn't fail, right? You know, why doesn't he teach us astrophysics? Why doesn't he teach us to get a cure for the COVID-19 virus? Well, you know, there are some things you might wonder, but we just stop. And what Jesus is saying is, I will teach you. My Spirit will tell you all you need to know. And what you need to know is that I love you. What you need to know is that no matter what disease or fear or whatever else is going on in this world, there is nothing that can pull you out of my hand, the hand that I will hold you in and comfort you with, the hand that I will use to wipe away your tears, the hand of my love. I will teach you what you need to know, that we can have courage and faith and show hope and love and, yes, even patience with ourselves while we're still learning, and patience with others around us. He'll bring to your remembrance all that I've said. You know, Jesus may not answer every question for us. May not tell us everything. I don't know the winning lottery numbers tomorrow or anything else, but he tells me what I really need to know, and he does for you too. That one day we're going to be in that place where there is no darkness, there is no disease, there is no death. There is nothing, absolutely nothing to be afraid of. And until then, we have his Holy Spirit reminding us of that so that our real fear of those things goes away even here and now. That's our trust and our hope. And that we can, what a great prayer we can turn that into, right? Help me, Holy Spirit, to understand all that God promises and remember it in tough times. Help me understand all that you say in love and help me remember it. I need you, Spirit. I need your help. That a Bible verse here and there stays in my memory. And this is a good reminder for us. I want to share this with you. You know, when Elijah thought that the whole world was just over. You know, he was being chased. He was being pursued. The queen wanted to murder him. He just thought it was all over. There's nothing we were going to do. It says that a great fire came, but the scripture is very careful to point out God was not in the fire. And a great wind blew, shattered the rocks, but God was not in that windstorm, like a tornado, you know, what we would experience here in Texas. And there was a great earthquake, another disaster, but God, it's, Scripture says very clearly there in 2 Kings, God was not in the earthquake. You know where God was for Elijah? Where he is for you and me? It says, then God spoke in a still, small voice. And it's that voice, the voice of the Spirit, that he will speak to you as in, don't be afraid, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you.